Hello. If you or someone you love is interested in classical music, listen carefully. This program is for you. We're here to help. We will play some of the best known classical music for you and have you screaming for more in no time. My name is Arch and this is Archie's Archives. This week, my plan is to do a little cleaning up, by which I mean play you some leftover tracks that I could not squeeze into earlier programs and play you some additional tunes that you might be wondering about. For example, you might have been wondering about that tune that I use as a theme at the beginning. Actually, it is a MIDI version executed by percussion of a Bach organ fugue. It is an organ fugue by Johann Sebastian Bach, or J.S. Bach, to people in the classical music record, to distinguish him from a couple of other Bachs whom very few people know about. About the 19th century, people began cataloging the works of composers for reasons of copyright mostly, I believe. Anyway, a neat fellow called Schmeider, that's like Schneider except with an M, was the one who took up Bach's catalog. And he called it the Bach's Werke Verzeichnis, which is abbreviated to BWV. So this piece is BWV 543, or sometimes just S 543 for Schmeider. Here is the fugue, played by Edward Power Biggs, an organist from Britain who came to the US just about the same time as Virgil Fox, another famous organist. Believe it or not, Biggs has the lightest registration of most Bach performers. That is, he uses the lightest sounding selection of pipes. This is in a slow 6/8 time, but it comes across as triple time like a minuet or a waltz. Just a really great piece. Now listen towards the middle of the piece to a sort of a more quietly registered section, and that's called a trio, just like the trio in a minuet or the trio in a march. The marches also have sometimes this trio section, which is lightly scored in the middle of the march. So here we go, Bach's Fugue in A minor, BWV 543, played by Edward Power Biggs. Thank you. This chorale from BWV 147 is very often the first piece that young people latch on to. I love it dearly, and when I played a MIDI version of this on the air for an earlier episode of this show, my wife was very indignant and she said, why not play the real thing? So here is the real thing. I have many versions of this, and it so happened that they're all more modern performances than the one that I grew up with. Now, I must clarify what I mean by a more modern performance. What happened is that there was a big Bach revival in the mid-1800s led by Felix Mendelssohn. And people started playing Bach all over the place, and it was kind of romantic because people said, oh, Bach, the old man from long ago. And they started playing Bach as though it was written at the time that they were performing it, which meant that they were trying to play Bach as though it was, say, Beethoven or Wagner or something like that. But more recently, in more modern times, people realized that Bach had to be performed in a different way. And so when we say more modern, we really mean in a more ancient way. But it turned out that I was able to get a performance by the same choir that had performed it on the 78th that we heard in our home. But over the decades, they have gotten to perform it a little bit more authentically. But still, you can hear both the piano and an organ in the background. So here it is.
Thank you.
The basic chorale from this piece was actually an existing hymn from Bach's time. Pachelbel's canon, or canon, which was played a couple of weeks ago by a string quartet for you, is for three violins and cello. Because violins usually sound so alike, and when you have an entire string orchestra playing together, the first violins sound pretty much like the second violins. So I wrote it out in MIDI so that it could be played by four entirely different instruments. I chose a viola, a flute, a bassoon, and the cello. The bassoon plays an octave lower, which makes it sound really weird. So here it is. Remember that the purpose of this is not for you to enjoy it, but to hear how the different strands of melody, how distinct they are in contrast to a typical performance with three violins and a cello. Thank you. we had a little bit of the first movement of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and I promise that I'll play the whole thing for you. Here is the entire first movement performed by Roger Norrington and his orchestra.
Thank you.
Well, that's all very lovely, but there's something very interesting going on here. Listen to these two places where there is that horn call, which is the second theme of the symphony, of the first movement. You hear that? The second time around, it wasn't horns at all. It was bassoons. Why bassoons? Why not give the horns the same little tune that they played the first time? Because back then, they didn't have the horns that we have now, which had valves. They just had what are called natural horns, just a simple tube. And the player had to get the different notes by using the tension of his lips alone, and they just couldn't do that. The bassoons had keys, and they could play any notes he wanted. So when Beethoven wanted to have that tune repeated at a slightly different pitch, the horns couldn't do it in Beethoven's time, and so he gave it to the bassoons, and it sounds wonderful with the bassoons. So I just wanted to show you that little extra bit of peculiarity there, and we'll talk about it at length at some other time. Some of you might have wondered about that little tune that I used during the station break and at the end of the program. It is a tune that I have heard somewhere when I was a kid, and I always thought it was by Haydn, Joseph Haydn, who wrote lots of tunes like that. He was in fact credited with writing a lot of short tunes that he did not write. I first made a video of this basic tune and put it up on YouTube a few years ago and called for any information on its composer, but there was no response. Here's the tune as it was put up in that video. Earlier this year, I took this same tune and made a little fantasia out of it. That is, an extended version around the basic tune. Here's the whole thing. So I call it the mystery tune. What else am I to call it? Nobody knows who wrote it. So the fantasia part of course is mine, but it's a nameless tune, so it's called the mystery tune. From Mozart also, someone cataloged his works after he died. The cataloger's name begins with the letter K, so we give the catalog of opus numbers as K something something. Here is the first movement from Mozart's K550, which is the famous G minor symphony number 40, from which we played a minuet a few weeks ago. Here is the entire first movement. Uma, a long-time resident of Williamsport, who attended Lycoming College and whose band Episodes is no longer together, has a new band, Sock Fight, and this is one of their songs. It's called Green Cats and Blue Licorice, and it is about a cat, and the last few lines represent the cat chasing its own tail, apparently. Here we go. That certainly is one excitable little cat there. That was Uma and Sock Fight singing Green Cats and Blue Licorice. A few weeks ago, I was in Lock Haven to hear this group called the New Broad River Band play at the open air performance in the Triangle Park down there. And I was able to record a few cuts from their playlist, and this one is called When the Blue Bedbugs Bite.
It's always something simple, dear, that makes me think of you. Then you're on my mind near the whole day through. And when I lay my head down to take my evening rest, you're all that I can think about, the girl I love the best. That's when those blue bedbugs bite. They come in the middle of the night. I'm walking the floor till daylight because those blue bedbugs bite. Sometimes I think I see your face out in the crowd. It gets my heart yearning and I nearly cry out loud. And when the day is done and that sun sets in the west, you're all that I can think about, the girl I love the best. That's when those blue bedbugs bite. They come in the middle of the night. I'm walking the floor till daylight because those blue bedbugs bite. Thank you. And just before the sunrise, when the stars shine bright above, I hear the lonesome cooing of the mournful morning dove. Just as I drift away, that old nightbird takes its nest, and you're all that I can dream about, the girl I love the best. That's when those bluebirds bite. They come in the middle of the night. I'm walking the floor till daylight because those blue bed bugs bite. That's when those blue bed bugs bite. They come in the middle of the night. I'm walking the floor till daylight because those blue bed bugs bite. Yes, I'm walking the floor till daylight because those blue bed bugs bite.
One of the most wonderful national anthems that I had ready to play but never got around to playing was the anthem of the European Community. Here it is, you should recognize it very well. Here is a fragment of the last movement of Johannes Brahms' Symphony No. 1. Anyone who has attended Lycoming in college will know why this one is interesting. Thank you. Yep, that was the tune from which they took the alma mater of Lycoming College. Okay, here is the Liberty Bell March by John Philip Sousa. How amazing it is that anyone can write so many highly memorable march tunes. If you listen closely, there is a bell ringing in the second part. The march is in binary form, AABB, and the bell is, I think, indicated to be played ad lib, any way they want. So in this particular performance, it's hard to hear it. This is played by the Philip Jones Brass Ensemble. This one was left over from the show on animals, and this is Harry Belafonte singing Hold Him Joe about a donkey.
Wala 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 puro, ato be puro. Hold him Joe, hold him Joe, hold him Joe, but don't let him go. Hold him Joe, I say hold him Joe. Hold him, Joe, but don't let him go. Me donkey want water. Hold him, Joe. Going round the corner.
Hold him, Joe.
Me donkey want water.
Hold him, Joe.
Everybody want water.
Hold him, Joe.
I fum like a chimba.
Hold him, Joe.
Me donkey want water.
Hold him, Joe.
Everybody want water.
Hold him, Joe.
Me donkey want water.
Hold him, Joe.
We on a journey, he don't walk straight, and that is because he's so underweight. Donkey a man, he don't like no weight. Put him on a cart, he never walk straight. Me donkey won't water.
Hold him, Joe.
Everybody won't water.
Hold him, Joe.
Me donkey won't water.
Hold him, Joe.
The people won't water.
Hold him, Joe.
Me donkey won't water.
Hold him, Joe.
I fumble like a chimba.
Hold him, Joe.
Me donkey won't water.
Hold him, Joe.
The donkey need water.
Hold him, Joe.
My old donkey went courting one day with a donkey named Melda across the way. She was twice his age, he put up a fight. Now he's crying every night. Ah, let me go, darling Melda. You're breaking my backbone. Ah, let me go, darling Melda. You're breaking my... Everybody,
let me go, darling Melda. You're breaking my backbone.
Once again now,
let me go, darling Melda. You're breaking my backbone.
A little louder.
Let me go, darling Melda. You're breaking my backbone.
A little softer. Let me go, darling Melda. You're breaking my backbone. As some people say that my donkey is bad, and that is because he's from Trinidad. Donkey of mine, he won't work at all. All he want to do is break out his stormy donkey won't water. Hold him, Joe. Sing out the chorus.
Hold him, Joe.
And sing a little louder.
Hold him, Joe.
He donkey won't water.
Hold him, Joe.
And Hugo won't water.
Hold him, Joe.
He donkey won't water.
Hold him, Joe.
A fuma like a chimba.
Hold him, Joe.
Donkey won't water.
Hold him, Joe.
I sing a little softer.
Hold him, Joe.
I still a little softer.
Hold him, Joe.
Now sing a little louder.
Hold him, Joe.
Donkey won't water.
Hold him, Joe.
Stay tuned for our second hour of Archie's Archives.